Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 4 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we're coming to you from Gastonia, North Carolina, which is today's worldwide headquarters of PHCC, and looking forward to having some great discussions in the coming weeks and months. We're doing this podcast because we believe in telling the incredible stories of our members, chapters, events, and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today, we are highlighting another wonderful part of PHCC. We are so blessed to have Wayne Thomas and Sal DiCarlo with us from the great state of Massachusetts. Wayne is the executive director of PHCC of Massachusetts, and Sal is serving as the president of the Massachusetts PHCC State Association. Wayne and Sal, gentlemen, and I'll use that term loosely probably, it's such a treat to have both of you join us today, and welcome to PHCC Rocks, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to get you in here. Getting into this, I think this is the fourth episode, and I really enjoyed learning about people. You know, this thing, this PHCC, like most associations, is really made up of incredible people. And I like hearing your stories. And so give us some, if you can, talk about yourself a little bit and give me some of your background and, you know, how you ended up at PHCC Massachusetts.
You want to start?
Go ahead. Sure. I started to get into the HVAC trade, straight out of high school. I went to a vocational school and then worked my way into the plumbing industry when I wanted to, open up my own business. And when I was going to plumbing school, a lot of my instructors were active with the PHCC and kind of stressed the importance of the organization and how they looked out for the trade, whether it was, on Capitol Hill or locally in our own state and, providing updates to the code. And when I eventually opened my own business, it seemed like a no-brainer to just be part of an organization that wanted to help the trade move forward and be successful.
So you started your own business?
I did.
I'll tell you, being a third generation guy, the respect for people that start their own business is amazing. I don't know that we could start ours today, but congrats on that.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah, it was a long haul to say the least. We started back in 96 and of course we didn't go to business school. So we, went to the business school of hard knocks and became accountants as well as plumbers and service techs .
Yeah. We all look back and go, wow, it would have been so much better if I'd have studied something else. Yeah, I know. We all get there, don't we? That's great. Sal, thanks. What about you, Wayne?
So I started in the industry, 1972, second generation. My father had the business before I did. He had bought the business from an individual prior to that. The business is actually from 1888 is when it originally started. Still in the same location too, which is kind of nice. But So I worked for my father for a number of years. He got sick in the, I think it was the late 70s. And then I took over the business at that point. My wife and I have been running it ever since. I left the business in 2009 to go to work for the state of Massachusetts as the executive director for the plumbing board. And then in 2017, I left there to take the position here as the executive director for PHCC. So it's been kind of a long journey.
Well, but seeing that experience, well, that explains a lot on the depth of what you understand, because if you're just that contractor background, you probably just see certain things. But yeah, that's really interesting. That explains a lot, Wayne, on why you're
it helps as the executive director. I find that I can relate to contractors probably quite a bit more than a lot of other directors, just because of my experience in the industry itself. So that does help.
You understand our crazy, don't you? A little bit.
Yes.
Perfect.
So I did join. I was a contractor member from I think 1985 to 2009, and then when I came back on as executive director, the company rejoined again. So we're also contractor members as well.
Well, having that perspective, being a member, contractor member, and then in the position you're now makes a massive difference in understanding both sides. Yeah, it's okay, great. I think that's helped me on the, you know, as I've gotten more involved in the association too, seeing things from different perspectives. I think it's important. So, you know, you mentioned how old the business was, but, you know, one of the things that's always drawn me to PHCC National is how old, you know, that we're the oldest trade association in the country. And, you know, I've talked a lot about that. That's really good in most ways, but, you know, then there's some things, you know, it's hard to change. But give me some, I don't know the history of PHCC of Mass.
So PHCC of Mass was incorporated in 1918. And it's been an association, it's been an active not-for-profit corporation since then.
Okay.
That's pretty much the history of PHCC of Mass.
Yeah,
and pretty old.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, for all of us across the country, understanding how old and solid our groups have been for that long is quite a statement. So you let us know about your state association, you know, maybe the number of members. I don't think a lot of times we actually get to that information, number of members, how many locals you got, and then maybe what do you see, how do you see the association as it sits from a health standpoint?
Okay. So, we have 170 contractor members. We have, I think it's somewhere around 85 associate members, and then, another 40 some odd, we call affiliate members, which would either be local plumbing inspectors and gas inspectors and instructors. So it's a lesser membership that they're allowed to be part of the association and support the association. Anything you want to add to it?
Well, and then on top of those members, we have three or four currently active local chapters throughout the state where contractor members and associates can get together for a monthly meeting. Typically have a speaker or a dinner, whether it's something on business or something on new pieces of equipment that are out, something informative and educational. And we're actually trying to add two more local chapters to try and reach out to members that aren't necessarily so close to travel to some of these chapters that we currently have, you know. To get to the western part of our state, it's a little bit more than a two-hour ride. So, you know, for somebody to head into Boston for, you know, a dinner and a quick meeting, you know, for a couple of hours, it could be, especially after a long, busy day, it could be a little bit of a undaunting.
Yeah, six-hour adventure round trip's hard to do in the evening, you know. Yeah, we see that, you know, I see a lot the state chapters that seem to be doing really well typically have three or four locals that are doing well, you know, and that keeps that local connection monthly, and then bigger things at the state level, and then the federation, bigger things at the national level. It seems to follow that in a lot of cases. So, so you think those couple locals, three locals, are pretty strong to keep that connection?
They are. Actually, Sal belongs to a Mystic Valley local that we have. That's probably the most active. Okay. They do monthly meetings from September to June, and they're going to take the summers off, but they typically have anywhere from 20 to 30 people at a meeting every month.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. Yeah. And that ends up feeding your board, doesn't it? Your state board.
Oh, it does. It definitely does. No question. Yes. Yeah. The other locals are also active. I would say anywhere from 10 to 20, 25 people, that would meet monthly. So it's on that end, it's good. But like Sal said, we're actively trying to get some more locals going just because of the travel to try to get from one place to another.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So this next question, and you know, something that's intrigued me for a couple of years now that I've heard you talking about, Wayne, is your image awareness campaign. And you know, our strategic plan we did 5 years ago, a big part of it was image. And then, you know, you guys have taken this and run with it. I mean, talk about what's going on with that. And I heard those big members, you know, you've had some membership growth, but just talk about, you know, what this image awareness campaign, and I looked at the videos. So yeah, you look good on those videos, Wayne.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, there you go.
So it started, I believe, in 2019, our marketing committee chairman, Kate Tynan, had the idea to hire someone to help us promote PHCC and you know, bring awareness that we're here and that that we're here for the industry. So we ended up hiring an individual firm. His name is Brent Trithewey, and his family is you know, is a household name. He's not a plumber, but he comes from a family of plumbers. So between their plumbing company and this old house, they do tend to carry a lot of weight. And he's a good marketer. Yeah. So we were going into the middle schools, high schools, trying to help promote getting people in the industry, and those who weren't choosing to go on to college, maybe that wanted to go to work right out of high school. And we were trying to show them the benefits. We created a spot on our website where they can come on and just put in their name, what town they're from, and some contact information. And then it's an email that comes directly to me. So I'll find four or five contractors in their area, and I'll send them an email, and hopefully they'll connect on that end. So it's worked pretty well. It's also worked in getting more members, because they're always looking for help. And this is another way that we can help provide a good service to our contractor members.
So you really are able to show members a way to separate themselves in some ways.
Brent's also been very useful helping us get our own YouTube channel started. You know, we've got some videos posted, a lot of it informative about the trade, and you know how younger individuals or anybody can actually make a good living in the trades as opposed to going to college as an alternative. And then from those videos, they can once again click to our website to get further information.
Sure. One of the things I wondered, Sal, and both of you, you know, we try to get some marketing things done in our zone down here in zone 2A, but it always seems to be some pushback getting the board to approve financial things on the market, what I would call marketing pieces like this. You know, this is really a marketing push the way I see it. What do you remember what you had to do to overcome, or were there any, maybe there wasn't any pushback? Was there pushback on doing it, or was it pretty unanimous to go do it?
Well, certainly from our executive committee, when we discussed it and we would bring something like that to our board of directors, there was a little pushback from some of the people that had been here longer. You know, something that we had never tried before. So they were a little nervous, you know, about maybe losses that we might incur in trying something new. Occasionally we still get a little pushback when it comes time to, you know, again, trying new avenues to get the word out about who we are and what we do. But I think in the long run, I think it's been beneficial for us, trying to become more of a household name to the average PHCC contractor, you know, that may not know that we even exist. So I think it's really been helpful for us. Our membership has certainly risen.
Yeah, it looks like it has. I think you've gone from 140 to 170, 80, something like that. Isn't that right, Wayne?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 130 to like 170. Yeah.
Yeah, and you credit,
just in that period of time.
You credit this program as a big part of that, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. More than anything, this is, it's really just creating awareness to other contractors. We can get our logo, we can get our information to contractors. Sooner or later, they'll see a value in becoming part of something bigger than they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Helping the industry, not just their business. And along the way, they help their business. It's amazing. Yeah. So the other thing, you know, I talked about marketing a little bit, and I do think it's one of the things I see across the country that we struggle with, and I think national struggles with. But, you know, I didn't realize how good your magazine was. And, you know, when you sent me that the other day, I went and looked at your Progress magazine. And I guess talk about, you know, it's in depth, and then you send it out, what, 3 or 4 times a year or something. But talk about what you do with that and how that works.
So it's a quarterly magazine, and it's distributed free to all licensed plumbers in Massachusetts and HVAC techs. We get the current list of licensees from the State Plumbing Board in Massachusetts. It's free information to get with their mailing addresses, And that's how the list originally got created. So everyone receives that magazine.
And they send it electronically, or is it a hard copy also?
No, it's a hard copy at this point. The distribution is about 23,000.
Oh, wow.
That it goes to and other industry professionals too. It's not just contractors, but there's engineers that get the magazine, and advertisers like to see the magazine as well. So they're on the list, but it's really made to keep the industry informed. We do promote joining the association as a contractor as well, but the idea is, if we can educate the industry, then the industry becomes better. So, and hopefully, like I said before, along the way, they think that they see the value of us being here, and they want to become part of it and want to support it.
Is that a local printing company you partnered with, or
we do the magazine here. I mean, as far as the content for the magazine is all created out of this office. We have a company in Florida, or a woman that runs the magazine for us. She puts everything together. So we create all the content. We send her all the content. She creates the magazine. We go back and forth and proof it. And once we get a final copy, she loads it onto a system that's a company up in New Hampshire, Cummings Printing, and then they do the printing and the mailing for us.
The reason I'm asking, I bet it looks like, I saw some of the advertising in the back, it's a net positive financially for the organization, isn't it? The way you've got it set up, or is it close?
It's close. Yeah. Have some issues that make money. I mean, some issues that we have a net profit off of, and we have others that we lose money on. So it's not meant to make money either. So it's, hopefully we can break even.
Well, that's where I was going exactly. Sal, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we don't charge for the magazine. So, depending on how many advertisers we get, we either break even or, again, have a net positive or loss, but it's not really about that. Again, it's about staying in front of the contractor, letting them know who we are. And a lot of the content is actually pretty good. We've got some Q&As.
I thought it was great, especially like you had the local focus. I thought that was a really big piece that I saw on this last one that I looked at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you'd like, I'd be glad to autograph a copy for you.
I saw your picture in there. I'll have to do something with that. Okay, perfect. And there, I'm getting ribbon. I'm just getting a little bit of ribbon at this point, but yeah, I've got all kind of problems. I understand. You and I can relate, Sal. I get it. The real reason I brought up the financial piece of it is because I think often when, I hear across the country, I think in North Carolina we've done some of this where we look at that, and from a board or executive thing, we look at the initial cost and we don't really understand the output. We don't understand that, man, if something like that's break even or just a small loss, it's a massive opportunity to get the word out. And then I don't think most chapters I hear do what you did on getting it out to the non-members. We it needs to go out to all the licensed. If we could repeat that all across the country, the opportunity that you guys have developed on that, sending it out to all your licensees across the state, is massive on projecting who you are. So I wanted to make sure we touched on that. Anything else on that magazine? No.
It used to be a members magazine. I believe somewhere back around maybe 1995 or so, the board at the time decided to make it a free magazine and send it out to the full industry. With hopes that we could reach them a little bit better. So it seems to have worked pretty well, and it increased the advertising just because the exposure is.
Sure. Yeah. It's hard to sell advertising when there's, 200 people getting it. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Exactly.
So, hey, part of our strategic plan 5 years ago was try to change the amount of non-dues members, dues that we were getting in non-membership dues across the country. And it seems like you guys have done a really good job with that trade show you have that it looks like it's just a massive trade show. I know when I saw you talk about some of those numbers, talk about how, that trade show and how you've made it so successful, because some trade shows across the country seem to be failures, back and forth year to year. But.
I don't really know how to put my finger on what has made it such a success. I know that it's pushed highly in the vocational schools and the trade schools as a way for apprentices to actually get out there and see what's happening. Our associate members push the trade show as well, that are going to be setting up booths, and the contractors like to come and learn about new equipment that's available. whether it's breakout training seminars on how to run their business, on certifications, whether it's MegaPress or some other product that needs a certification. It just really is overwhelming at the turnout. Now, our booths sell out remarkably fast, and it's definitely one of the largest plumbing, heating, cooling trade shows I've ever been to. And maybe it's just the thirst for knowledge from our contractors here in the state that want to keep them going year after year, you know. And it kind of becomes like an old home week, if you would, at some point, because you see a lot of contractors that, you know, you typically run into at the supply house, and you got a chance to, you know, shoot the breeze. And as well as we start our day off with almost like a town hall meeting, if you will, with the plumbing board, where we have a giant room where contractors can have Q&As directly with the plumbing board on issues and code questions. And that's usually a huge turnout first thing in the morning.
And we, part of it too is, you know, we're fortunate here in Massachusetts that the state itself isn't physically that big from one end to the other. And the location that we have it, the venue is huge. It's plenty large enough for what we're trying to do. And it's right in the middle of the state. And it's directly off the Mass Turnpike. It's, you know, it's 2 miles from Route 495, which goes north to south. Anybody can get to the trade show probably within an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. Well, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah. And where it's been, it's always the first Saturday in March. So people know from year to year when to plan the Saturdays. So, and we do a pretty good job of promoting it as well. And, because we get so many people that come to it, the vendors continually sign up, and, you know, we pretty much fill the place, and it's great.
And I'll trust Sal. I've known you too long, Wayne. You said 1,500 people.
We didn't have it last year, but I mean, 2020, the week before the state shutdown, we had 1,500 people in that building. And not one case of COVID that we know about.
But okay. Don't ask, don't tell. I hear you.
Yes. Yeah, right. We also draw some people from other states. We'll have some people from New Hampshire come, Connecticut. There's one gentleman I know, he comes religiously from Albany, New York.
No kidding. So really, success has bred success. How long would you say it's been at that upper level? I mean, is it?
I'm guessing here, but I would say at least 25 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that tells a great story of your continuity too, through all your different leadership and everything. So, and then but the keys, probably, we move ours around a lot, and I hear that but I'm going to bet what you said about it being in the same location, an hour and a half to get there from across the state. I bet that's a huge part of it. And the value, if you don't have that value, people won't come back. So, okay.
And the plumbing board seminar in the morning is the big thing. There's usually 700 to 800 people that go to that. Yeah. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and the trade show opens at 10. So it's up at the hotel at the top of the hill. So everybody goes to that to hear from the plumbing board members, and then they go down to the trade show afterwards. So that's a huge draw for us too.
Well, we've got a really good relationship with our licensing board here. And you hear that across the country, that when the states that have really associated, that have close relationships, really overall, they seem to be a lot more healthy.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, great. So, that's a big help, guys, on framing how you're being successful in the state. And, you know, one of the main things I'm excited about in the position I'm in is that we're doing a new strategic plan at National in January, and a 5-year strategic plan. And so one of the things I'm doing with all leaders like you guys is asking, you know, if you're in that room, you know, helping the National board plan. And I had somebody the other day go, be careful what you ask for. But, you know, I really want to get I really want to get feedback or ideas, or, you know, if you were in that room, what would you want us to focus on? You know?
Well, I think maybe it's just trying to get the word out that there is a national organization, because, you know, we try to get our word out who we are here on a state level. And I think we can do better at informing contractors that not, you know, for when they sign up with the PHEC, they're not just joining PHEC of Massachusetts, they're joining PHEC National as well. Letting them know that they're part of a larger organization And I think if other states possibly did the same thing, because there are some states that, you know, around us that we have discussions with, and they're having trouble gaining membership because of maybe cost of joining their association, maybe letting them know for that cost of whatever it is to join the PHEC for the year. Not only are they joining the state level PHEC, but that there actually is a national PHEC that they're a part of as well. And I think if the states could do a better job of letting them know that we're part of a larger organization, then I think that would help national out and probably help the states out as well.
Okay. So, you know, the states are so different and the needs, you know, each state has different needs from national, but, you know, making sure that we really put it in a format communication wise so that each state gets better communication from national on how to communicate how that state's winning with the help from national. You know, I think we struggle sometimes. We send out these blanket things and we need to figure out like the two ways that Massachusetts wins better because of national and make sure we broadcast that better. Is that what I'm hearing? Something along those lines?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think too, to target the 20 to 35 year olds, things don't run like they ran in the 80s and the 90s when I was a member here.
Just a little different.
Absolutely. But those are the people that are going to be running the businesses going forward. And those are the ones that I think that I think the strategic plan needs to target those. Yeah. What they're looking to do, what their likes and dislikes are, and what their needs are.
Yeah, whatever we call it, but a next generation focus and figure out how to have a format. And there's been some discussion, Wayne. I know you've been in the room on some of that. Where what does a next generation format look like so that the guy that's a 30-year-old, 40-year-old that's got two kids and he doesn't see the 5 days at Connect as a positive. And then some of the setups that you guys have from the state, how do you do a 2-day event or whatever? So getting that kind of format that we can be copied across the country that makes sense. Yeah, okay. Anything else besides really making sure that we have better looking leadership, you know, along those lines? Yeah, okay.
That's about it.
Yeah, there we go. All right. All right, we're going to switch gears. Thanks for that feedback. I think, we're going to really be focused at the strategic planning session on compiling this kind of feedback from the state execs and the state presidents to try to look at some of those formats on how we can improve that communication and help each other. I want to make sure we don't frame it that it's broken. I don't think it's broken, but I think it's always something that you got to constantly look at because things change so fast. And
I think you're doing the right thing by getting a lot more state execs involved because they have the pulse at this point. They know their members and they know what they meant.
Yeah, we're just far enough removed that it's dangerous if we don't get that feedback. And so I think, and it's so different state to state. My goodness, you know what?
Absolutely. Yeah,
it really is. Okay, we're going to switch gears a minute. And I like this part of the podcast because we ask some different questions. And so if we could, you guys tell us something. People love hearing about other people and what they do behind the scenes. What do you guys tell us something that we don't know about you that would be interesting?
That's a good question.
I'm a music buff. I love live music. So if anytime there's a chance to get to a concert, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Who's your favorite? What, who's your favorite? Come on.
Well, I say I have siblings that are 16 years older than me. So I cover a couple different genres. So I'd be just as happy going to a Paul McCartney concert as I would be going to a Metallica or an AC/DC concert.
Okay, that's a wide range. I like it.
It's a pretty wide. I'd even go to Andrea Bocelli for a Christmas show. So
there you go. Okay,
it's one of my things. I just something I just really enjoy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, I guess being in my late 60s, I'm a huge Beatles fan. So to a point that I had to get Disney Plus just to be able to see the new the Get Back video they're putting out the 25th, which is Friday. So maybe that's something people will know about me. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I think that stuff's important, and I do I've enjoyed that question because we are getting a pretty wide variety of things. But the Beatles, I'm stunned when you talk to people our ages, especially how much the Beatles influenced And yeah. I was late coming to the Beatles. I was a little bit after, the bands that I listened to and stuff, how much they were influenced by the Beatles. It's amazing our culture, how much that's been a part of our culture. The next one is, if you could go back and give your 20-year-old self, that hadn't been that long ago for us, but your 20-year-old self some advice, what advice would you give yourself?
I would certainly, at 20 years old, have taken some business courses. That was the
sales.
The last thing I wanted to do when I graduated high school was, I had enough at that point, did not want anything to do with college. My father had said at the time, go to work for a year, see if you like it. If you don't like it, you can always start college a year from now. And then I was forced into running the business when he got sick, which was only 7 years after I started.
So that's quick.
But if I had, things would have been a lot easier and a lot better for the business if I had taken some business courses when I first went to work.
I would have to agree. It's funny, I was in the same situation. I didn't really know what I wanted to study in college. And my brother-in-law was a pipe fitter. And so I got into the HVAC industry. And I thought, okay, let's see how it works out. And if I like it, great. If I don't, well, then, when I grow up and figure out what I really want to do for a living, then I'll take some college courses. And I just really enjoyed working with my hands or working with the trade and got a thirst for knowledge and kind of stayed with it. But some business classes would have certainly helped instead of going to the business school of hard knocks.
You know, it's funny that you said that. I actually have a civil engineering and construction degree. And about, Wayne, it's probably 3 or 4 years into my business career here at our company, I went, man, I should have taken business classes because that's great. That's great that I can do 4 levels of calculus, but boy, I'm not doing that. I need to know how the balance sheet works. That may help. But anyway, that's okay. Great, great stuff. And then the most important question, what's your favorite dessert?
With me, it'd be creme brulee.
That's right up there. Creme brulee or cheesecake?
Cheesecake. All right. You don't look like a cheesecake guy, but I'll take that. Okay. All right. Any of this special? I mean, there's like 400 kinds of cheesecake now. Is it just like cheesecakes? You're like an old fashioned, just regular cheesecake.
I'm an old fashioned. My aunt made a cherry cheesecake that was absolutely phenomenal.
I got it.
And,
I got
every holiday, every birthday party, she would show up with one of these cheesecakes and, it was to die for.
Okay. Well, I think we are simple like that. Mine's apple pie and vanilla ice cream. And I keep saying it's going to be something else, but it's not. It's always that. It falls
you
back.
You can't go wrong with apple pie.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah. All right. So, guys, appreciate that kind of feedback. I talked to Connect about being the oldest trade association, 1883. I think this really means that we've survived the changes that we had to go through. I know our business started in 1927, and the real story, you guys is old 19, I think it was in the early 1900s, Mass is the same thing. Coming out of this pandemic, it's a really exciting year being in a leadership position and with those opportunities, and I'm trying to look at it that way, and then, in our business and everything we do, and we have to. I think that positive leadership that we've been talking about, what changes are you seeing that are needed for you guys to win, or are you using – maybe even selling your business? Cause I'll tell you, I think this podcast, our members want to hear, other people winning. And so, what do y'all see this pandemic's going to do to change the association and, what are needed to help us win?
I'll tell you, business wise, things have never really seemed to be busier, which is kind of amazing to me. When I look at the price increases of materials and equipment, throughout the last year, there's some manufacturers have raised prices on cooling equipment 3 and 4 times. And it seemed like every month we were getting another email saying that we're going up 8%, 6%, 7%, and people are just still staying the course. They're renovating the houses, putting on additions, adding cooling, replacing their heating systems. And with the inflation that we're seeing, we still seem to be having a pretty active economy here, which is obviously, which is a good thing, but it's surprising as well. You would think with the inflation that maybe people would hold back for a little bit, but it doesn't seem to be the way things are going here.
Yeah, you said something I think that I've heard all across the country and in our company, and we're busier than we've ever been, but it's not all productive busy. It's interesting. We seem to be fighting a lot of battles to conquer the same things, and we got to figure out how to do that. Is that the same, Wayne, with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I think so. It gets frustrating at times. It's the past year and a half have been very difficult. I know difficult for everyone, but it has opened some doors too. It's almost like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You know, you're I never knew what Zoom was, you know, a year and a half ago.
This podcast would be a little difficult if we had to.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I mean, those are things that just that alone has opened things up at our board of directors meetings.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, we get more people involved because we have people that live north of Boston, and in our offices south of Boston where we hold our board meetings, and it's, you know, it can be 2 hours to get here. So, you know, some of them connect in through Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever, but it's been a good tool, I think, going forward. Something I never would have thought of doing or using.
We're seeing too, Sal. I don't know. We're communicating with some of our customers now on a Zoom call. We'll, you know, instead of driving, say we'll have a customer that's an hour away, and we really need to talk to them for 15 minutes. You know, instead of just being a phone call, you know, we're doing a little bit of Zoom stuff, and it's actually, you know, they actually love it. I think more than we do, because, you know, there's a lot, you know, we're taking an hour meeting and it's really a 15 minute meeting. But by the time you know, and I think we're actually helping them, you know, so it's interesting. That view.
Technology has helped a tremendous amount. You know, even with our plumbing business, we just run a small service business, and someone will call the office, and my wife will say, can you take a picture of the faucet and email it to me?
Yeah.
We can bring the right parts with us and we go to fix it. It just makes things so much simpler.
Yeah, there's so much moving on that. So, you know, the other part of that question that I didn't get to was, what are you excited about going into this new year? I mean, it sounds amazing what you guys are doing, but what are you really excited about?
Getting back together with people.
All
first
right,
and foremost.
Ditto, I'll agree.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest thing at this point. We've been kind of hibernating for a year and a half, and just to... You know, I am so much looking forward to this trade show in March, just because we have our president's dinner the night before. You know, it's usually 100 and some odd people there. I'm sure there's going to be at least that many this year. And then, you know, the code seminar and the trade show the next day. It'd just be good to get in the same room, just like it was in Kansas City. I hadn't seen some of those people in 2 years.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing I was struck with, was just the general excitement in every room you went in about how excited people were to be there.
Everybody was in a good mood.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Sal, you got anything to add to that?
You know, I think it's the same thing. You know, we're going to hold our annual Christmas party this year that we didn't have last year, and that'll be great to see all our contractor members get together and share a few laughs, and as well as a trade show. I mean, I get a feeling from a lot of the contractor members that when I go to local chapter meetings, that they're excited for the trade show as well, to go there, to have it back. Our associates members are excited to be there again and get in contact with, you know, our members and, you know, just plumbers across the state again, you know.
See, I think we feel like we're behind a little bit because of the pandemic. I think we feel like we've lost an edge, you know, in a lot of fronts, maybe in person stuff, but also, you know, I think education. I think our company, and when I talk to people that, you know, we're doing so many things, but I think we've kind of lost that normalcy. And so I think, you know, especially like on the education front, I don't know that we really have, but I think we feel that way. And, you know, you guys do some unique things on that. And we didn't get to that a minute ago, but your code books, I didn't realize you actually publish the code books. I mean, and handle all that. And so that connection on education is when I see us winning. Man, talk about that a minute too, if you don't mind.
Well, it gives us the opportunity to promote PHCC, put the logo out there. It's we have a kind of a unique situation there's probably a few other states that have it as well, but we have our own plumbing code in Massachusetts. We don't use one of the model codes. So we can print it on our own. We're allowed to do that. And then through NFPA, which just happens to be right down the road from here, we're able to purchase the two gas codes that we use as well. So we buy it from them. We print out the code on our own. We have a publishing company in that's right down the street from here as well, that puts the books together for us. And then, you know, people buy the books from us. So it's a good way to get our face out there, our logo out there. We can do some advertising in the front of the book. And it's the only way that at really at this point that you can get a full code book in Massachusetts without buying it from three or four different places. Oh, wow. So, it's on our end, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's worked out well, and it's given us the exposure that we need. It's helped to fund, to fund some of the things that we do. Yeah.
Well, see, I hear you talk about that, and what I hear from a translation standpoint across the country is every state's got to find their avenue where they can improve their marketing piece or their connection to contractors, because that's what you've done, Wayne. I mean, when you take all the things in the aggregate that you've talked about today, my goodness, it's all those connection points that are important to show the value and the connection with your contractors. That's what is the huge story in Massachusetts on how you guys are winning.
So in Massachusetts, we have a state bookstore where you can purchase the plumbing code. But again, it's just the plumbing code. The value by buying the code book through us is it's all together in one neat binder, yeah. The plumbing code, the gas code. It's tabbed out for you, so you can easily find what section you'd like to go to. And it's just a much better value for the consumer, for the contractor, when it comes time to buy a code book. So that's why we do so well. That's another reason why we do so well with that.
Well, and I think, was it 3,000 a year or something that you're working with on that? Is it?
Oh, no, that's the continuing education.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Massachusetts has required continuing education for plumbers and gas fitters. So we're also a provider to we go around the state and teach the 6-hour classes. We teach typically somewhere around 3,000 people a year.
Good
grief. Last year was a little bit less with the pandemic, but.
So really, you're not that busy, Wayne. What I'm hearing is
No. Okay. No, I'm guys. As soon as we finish this, I'm taking the rest of the day off.
It's part time. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. So, guys, I really appreciate the time. What other thoughts, man? Last thoughts or comments that we didn't cover, or maybe what are you most proud of right now?
Just proud to be part of something that's bigger than me. We all live in an industry that one way or another has been very good to us. So, and that's what I always tell people when they ask about joining is, you don't have to be someone that's totally involved. You don't have to get your money back every year for being a member. But you need to invest in something that is bigger than you, essentially.
That's a pretty good message, Sal. You and I can't follow that, can we?
No, that's a tough one to follow right there. But I'm proud to be part of an organization that we have such great involvement, not only from the contractor member, but our associate members, that they're always there willing to help. A couple of years ago, we had a contractor member who had a customer that needed a new furnace and had a leaky water heater, and associate members were there to donate the equipment, to donate the metal, and we donated time and, got the lady some heat and some hot water again. She was an older woman and just couldn't afford to get it done. And, whether it's something as simple as, which not necessarily so simple, but up to our golf tournament, where we raise money for charities, and the outpouring of donations and involvement is just, it's just second to none, really,
Yeah, I think
we really have a great industry.
I think that's really an untold story, Sal, most guys like you and our members are so humble about what they're doing on that stuff that they're doing it for the right reasons, and so they don't want to talk about it. But it's amazing all across the country what our members do to support their local communities and when those things
– and each other as well. My local chapter, we have smaller contractors that call in other contractors for help. A gentleman up the street from the other company, he had a longtime customer, lost a water heater. He had two guys out with COVID. We sent a couple of guys over to do the water heater. I even called them up and says, I'll come by and get your sticker and put your sticker on the water heater. It's your customer. I don't want to steal your customer. We want to help you out, and vice versa. They would do the same for us. It's really a special thing we have going on here.
I don't want to get into it too much, but you're right about that, Sal. With what happened to my brother and I this in April, One of the things that we haven't talked a lot about is there's a contractor in Indiana that my brother knows that called about 30 days after that, and he had two of his service techs that, and I want you to think about this, he had two of his service techs that had agreed to come work for us to help cover us over the summer in our air conditioning service group, and they were going to alternate weeks. I want you to think about it, that, and he was going to pay them. I mean, he calls, yeah, you know, and you just, and so that's the level of partnership and love, you know, across guy. We didn't let him. Now I may ask him now to come out. I'm just kidding. But I mean, you know, you just that, you know, you talk about being humbled. And so, yeah, Sal, to your point, man, that's a great thing to be proud of. And that's all across the country. And really, I see us, Wayne, you know, this group focuses on what we have in common a lot more than what separates us. And I hear that over and over again across the country. So, yeah, really, really proud of that. So thanks a ton for that information, guys. And okay, the last thing really is, I think sharing information on what we're reading and how we, you know, what we're learning from is a really important thing. I didn't ask you guys, what any books you've read lately or podcasts you'd recommend?
Well, again, I'm in the music. The last book I read was an autobiography from Sammy Hagar.
No kidding. Okay.
It was actually pretty good.
Oh man, he's had a journey. Oh my God. Okay. Wayne, you got anything?
I just finished a book called 1776. It was a book about a friend of mine gave me to read about the revolution and, you know, how it transpired from 1774 up to 1777. So pretty interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I didn't talk about this up front, but that's interesting. Mine, and you may have already read this if you're a history buff, but mine today is The Glorious Cause by Jeff Shera. It's a novel about the American Revolution, but it's about George Washington, and I love it because a lot of it is written from his personal diaries and notes, and I love it because it really gets into his personal struggles of how unconfident he was. Mm-hmm. Day to day. And, you know, we have this view now of him that, oh my, it was George Washington and he had it off and it was easy and he was the man. And it was, you know, every day some of his writings talked about him failing. He just knew he was going to fail every day and the pressure. And so I just think I love the book because, and I've read it twice now, but it just really helps day to day for me to go, no wonder I think I'm going to fail. But I mean, you know, I think it really is. So that's great. Yeah, 1776 and the Glorious Cause. So check those out. So, guys, anything else?
I don't think so. Pretty much covered it all.
Well, guys, love you for your time. And, you know, this episode was really, you know, direct on how Massachusetts is winning. And I know, you know, other people across the country that will listen to this are going to really, really benefit from all that you shared. And so really thank you so much for taking the time. Sal, great to see you. Wayne, as always, man, I know I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon, Wayne, some part of it. And thank you. So guys, listen, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please spread the word if you can about the podcast, and please don't hesitate to contact us here at podcast@phccrocks.com. We're always looking for suggestions for future podcast topics and guests, and you can find the podcast and subscribe at the website, phccrocks.com. And please follow us on our social media platforms. You can also find us and subscribe and blah, 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 and rate the podcast on most podcast services such as Spotify and Google. Thanks again to Wayne Thomas and Sal DiCarlo from PHCC of Massachusetts for being our guest today. Let's give them a big round of applause. They were awesome. And
thank you.
PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King from GSM Services and Charlotte Parham of PHCC National, edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why PHCC Rocks.